flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Grant and Danny, welcoming you back live in New Orleans on The Fan. Much appreciate everybody making the show part of your day. As promised, we are joined right now by a Hall of Famer, a multi-time All-Pro and MVP, Kurt Warner, who will be on the call of Super Bowl Sunday for Westwood One. Kurt, we're live on Radio Row. The Super Bowl is right around the corner. Legends like yourself everywhere we look. This is the good stuff.
This is the good stuff. I mean, you work all year long, whether you're covering it or whether you're playing for moments like this. And so it's been a great season. We've seen so many great storylines. We've got a bunch of incredible storylines, coming into the Super Bowl. The hustle and bustle is starting to pick up. You're seeing the jerseys from all kinds of different teams. And it's exciting times. And I'm blessed to be able to cover it once again.
You're one of the few guys, maybe in the history of the National Football League, who can share stories about your first year as a starter going as well as Jaden Daniels did when you threw 41 touchdowns and were the MVP. But what do you make of the year that the kid just had?
What I make is that he's a really good player, is that I know we get, sometimes caught up in rookies aren't supposed to be successful. But what I think you realize, and, I can go back to 99, is I felt I was a good player, and so I played well. And that's what I think about Jaden Daniels, is that you watched him last year win the Heisman, and, coming out, you just say, everything, that you see on tape, if that translates to the NFL, this kid's going to be a phenomenal player because he can do everything really, really well. And I think that's what we saw this year, is that you saw a guy, and, talk about a little bit with Patrick Mahomes, but I think Jaden was the same way. He played great in the biggest moments, and you're like, wow, this young kid. But what you start to realize is all he did in the biggest moments was play like he did the rest of the game. Like, who he was, his normal, was, what we saw in those biggest moments, that he didn't panic, he didn't put pressure on himself, he didn't try to play outside of himself. Just be who you are. And, and it was really, really fun to watch him play, the way he handled himself in those big moments and in those big games. Feel like, hey, this is just playing football again. This is what I do. And I think that's what we saw this year. Even though we were all in awe of it, to me it was just, this is a really good player. And all he's doing is showing up and playing well every week.
4 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pros, a Super Bowl champion, a Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner on Grant and Danny. What do you make then of going into year 2 and this huge offseason for him? Like, we just saw C.J. Stroud was kind of the Daniels of a year ago, and then he took a small step back when you would have thought there's no way he's not going to be better with all that experience. Yeah. So what should we be thinking right now about going into year 2? The expectation is just this is going to be linear.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is that, Jaden's going to put in the work. And, sometimes you have off games or sometimes you have off seasons. You don't go into things thinking, oh, man, he's going to have a sophomore slump, or, oh, he's got to be better than he was this year. To me, it's always about letting it play its course. I'm always a believer that give me 3 years of seeing a guy, because there's going to be ebbs and flows. There's going to be good and bad. But give me 3 years, and then I can tell you, who this guy is, who I believe he is as a quarterback. And so I think the hard thing is having a year like this, you guys are going to come back and go, if he doesn't do better than this, then what, you know, what's wrong? And man, if he just drops a little bit from what he did this year, it's still going to be a phenomenal season for him. And so I think we just have to put it all in perspective is that, you know, CJ, a little dip, but, you know, a lot of things changed. They had new pieces and then pieces got hurt and then their offense, like, there's a lot of factors that go into it. So for me, it's ride the course a little bit. You've got a really good quarterback who I believe is going to be good for a long time. Let him show us who he is over a few years instead of, you know, jumping, oh, he's you know, the next greatest quarterback, or if he's got a down year, oh, he can't play. Just let it play out, and I think you're going to see that Jaden Daniels is going to be a solid NFL starter for a long time.
Is there still a place, or maybe the better question is, will there always be a place for the pocket passer who is not particularly mobile, who just picks teams apart? Because it does seem like if even if you're not a runner, you got to be Drake May, or, you know, you got to be one of these athletes. Like, is there still a, like, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, that type of quarterback? 5 years from now, are teams still drafting those guys and starting them?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to good quarterbacks more than it is how they play. And so if you're a pocket passer, you have to be a good pocket passer. Like, you have to see it. You have to be able to get it out. You have to be able to understand some of the nuances that maybe a more athletic quarterback doesn't understand, because they can bail themselves out or they can make extra plays. But I believe there will always be a place for the pocket passer, because I believe this game is still won inside the pocket. Having the extra piece is always great. But I think, you know, again, as a guy that studies the quarterback position, I think there's obviously great positives from being athletic. I also believe there's some negatives that come into being with being athletic, is that you take a lot more sacks because you believe that you can make every play. You hold on to the football longer than guys that play in the pocket that are getting the ball out and that are saving yardage. Or, you know, when somebody brings pressure, you think you can beat it with your legs and it leads to a 15-yard sack, where I can beat it with my arm. And even if it's a 4-yard positive play, it's a 4-yard positive play. So I think there's always a give and take. And I think it really comes down to, are you good enough at what you do well to thrive and reach the threshold of being a starter in the NFL? And so I always believe there will be a place for it. But what I think we're seeing is a transition, even at the lower levels, of athletic quarterback, athletic quarterback, athletic quarterback. So I don't know if there are going to be a whole bunch of them, because we're not growing them the same way as before. So before it was like, oh, most of the guys are pocket passers, and you have a couple athletic guys that we draft in the mix. Now you have a bunch of athletic guys with just a few that are built as pocket passers. Still a place for them, in my opinion. They can still be really good, but they got to be really good at what they do, and they got to be really good at playing inside the pocket.
So I know I'm asking a two-time MVP quarterback this question, but what is your current thought on the discourse around roughing the passer penalties and how much we protect quarterbacks, and kind of if someone's around, we're throwing it and just kind of hoping that and it was bad? Like, do they need to correct, or are they doing the right thing? Because we all know if these quarterbacks are not playing, that's bad for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to go wrong erring to the side of health and safety for your players. Whatever that means, is that, you know, that to me is number one, because it's longevity for these guys, it's history of the game, and as you said, it's keeping these guys, the superstars, on the field, because that's what drives any sport, but that's what drives our sport. But at the same time, I think there's a part of me that says, but you still got to let guys play football. Like, it's still football. I understand. Take the head out of it. I understand, you know, in certain situations, protect the quarterback with certain things that you do. But I think we still have to leave room for guys to be football players. When the game's fast, or you're sacking a quarterback and you're not able to spin your body and get your body off of the quarterback, We can't throw a flag on that all the time, because it's already hard enough to play defense, that sometimes you got to let guys hit. You got to let guys play. And however we find that balance, I think, is going to be key moving forward, because, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot of fans, a lot of former players that just, like, at some point we got to get back to allowing these guys to play a little bit. And, you know, example in the NFC Championship game, the hit on Saquon Barkley where he's just going out of bounds and you get the hit there and it's a 15-yard and it's just like it's a football play. Like, it's momentum-taking guys, and yeah, he hit him, and he happened to, you know, maybe just step on the white line, but it's like, that's bang-bang, that's sports, and it's part of it, and those are the kind of things that it's like, don't change the game or don't affect games because of it. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I think we saw him, you know, I can't remember what game it was, where he's running around and buying time, and then he falls down, and a couple guys fall on him, and we throw a pen, and it's just like, come on, you know, we got to play football while doing our best to protect the players.
Kurt Warner on Grant and Danny. So you do so many things well. You're in the booth calling games as a color commentator. You'll be on the call of the Super Bowl with Kevin Harlan for Westwood One. You're at the desk for NFL Network, and I love your video breakdowns and kind of you taking issue with certain concepts, which is fun. What do you like? What's your passion? Yeah. What's the thing you enjoy most right now?
You know, the thing about it is I love it all. Like, I love the X's and O's. I'm passionate about, you know, the chess match of football. And so, you know, I love the desk stuff. I love what we do. I love that we have a four-hour show so we can really dive into different teams and that stuff. I love calling games because it's the most like playing, because you have to react in the moment and you got to be able to say something and you got to be able to take all that stuff that's in your head and make it understandable to the fans. So I love that. I love the breakdowns because it allows me to go a little bit deeper into it. You know, I created my own teaching platform called QB Confidential. So QBconfidential.com, you know, for players and coaches and even fans that want to dive even deeper into it, which is stuff that I love, is, you know, being able to teach concepts and the nuances and the details and why this detail is so important and makes such a big difference. And so I think that's one of the things that I love about kind of my platform is I get a chance to dabble in all these different things that I really enjoy, and they all have their different, you know, positives that I get a chance to do something a little different here than I get to do there, but I get to do all of those things. So I'm fortunate that I love all of my jobs, and I love the fact that I get to kind of change it up and go different directions, and you know, we'll see where the future takes me, but I'm really enjoying what life has for me now.
Well, you're good at all of them, and I appreciate the time. It was a treat.
You got it. Thanks a lot.